I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. The Super Bowl ended in a record-setting win by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but what about those commercials? The Smithsonian wants Aretha Franklin's Heather Gray inauguration hat, and a single mother of six gives birth to octuplets. For more on the stories lighting up the blogosphere, we turn now to our Bloggers Roundtable with Charles Robinson of Charles Black Politics Blog, Kay Tempest Bradford of the Angry Black Woman Blog, and Corey Richardson of the blog Vexed in the City. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Tony.
So I'm assuming everybody saw the Super Bowl yesterday, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Steelers pulled out a historic victory over the Cardinals in yesterday's it was just one of the better Super Bowls that you've ever seen, I'm sure. Jennifer Hudson staged an amazing comeback with her rendition of the Star Spangled Banner after her family tragedy that we all know about. And as usual, we saw some funny commercials during the big game. One of them that stood out for us here at News and Notes was called Cash for Gold. It featured MC Hammer and Ed McMahon. Here it is.
Here's money. With gold at an all-time high, now's the time to send your unwanted gold for cash, like these gold cufflinks.
I could get cash for this gold medallion of me wearing a gold medallion.
This gold microphone.
My gold records.
My gold golf clubs.
My gold sledgehammer, baby.
Boom.
Today.
My gold giraffe.
My gold pants.
My gold hip replacement.
We melting gold, baby.
Charles, I was at a party. Everybody went crazy when they saw that because it's like you couldn't believe these guys whose legendary problems with money, you know, that's what makes the commercial so funny, isn't it?
It's obvious it is. But you know what? This was what I call retro television. I mean, think about it. Each one of these guys are pretty much washed up. That wasn't the one that got me, man. It was the moose, man. The moose was the bomb diggity one. The guy's sitting in there, and he's got the front end of the moose in one hand and the back end of the moose, and you're wondering, am I at the back end of the moose?
That's a pretty good one. Tempest, which one got you?
Actually, I only saw very few of the commercials because I was floating in and out of the room while the Super Bowl was on. I'm the only person in my family who doesn't much care for football, but I think I did see the Cash for Gold one because someone called me into the room as it was playing in order to point out its complete ridiculousness, and I think that one pretty much did me for the evening.
Well, you know, that's true. And Corey, I don't know about you, but like I said, where I was, it was hard to hear the commercials because people were talking and making so much noise. Does one stand out for you?
Well, I think with the Cash for Gold one, I think it's a definite sign of the times when broke celebrities are what's hot in the streets. When celebrity poverty becomes something we look at and go, yeah, that guy. I'm broke like him. That was one. I think the other one that really got my attention was the one where the guy was punching the koala, the CareerBuilder.com.
Yeah, with the glasses on.
Yeah, because I mean, I think we've all had those times where it's like, yeah, punching a koala would be great right about now.
Well, you know, did you like the Doritos one? I thought that one was great.
Where he chomped on it and the woman's clothes came off, that one?
Pretty much.
That one didn't suit me too well.
Didn't resonate with you too much.
Fun times.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let me ask you generally, because, you know, when it first kind of got into this cultural thing about commercials at Super Bowl, people began to look for the commercials as much as the games, and there have been some Super Bowls where the commercials were better than the game itself. I didn't get that sense yesterday. This seems to be rebounding a little bit. Some of the commercials were good. Some of them kind of tacky, wouldn't you say, Corey?
Well, I think depending on what you're advertising, that's really what your that tells a story. I mean, the guys who do beer, they always come consistently with great commercials. The spots that I was really impressed by were the movie trailers. I don't know, as a young man at the age of 30, when I saw the trailer for G.I. Joe the movie, I immediately high-fived the guy next to me. When I saw the Transformers 2 trailer, I high-fived him again. And then we saw the Star Trek trailer, we just hugged. Because it was, you know, it's like, you know, all of the movies from my childhood, and my inner dork was just so happy to see all that. Those were the spots that really got me.
Well, you know, let's talk just briefly about the ads that did not make it to air. NBC rejected a provocative ad from the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, that featured scantily clad models posing suggestively with fruits and vegetables. So the audience didn't get to see it, but there was much ado made about the fact that NBC pulled that ad. Tempest, what's your opinion of that, or pulling it?
Well, I think that it was probably a good choice to pull it because, beyond the fact that the ad was not all that wonderful, I feel like they're being a little bit disingenuous, though, because there's plenty of, you know, like sexy, you know, provocative, you know, ads of that nature during the Super Bowl. So I'm not sure exactly what their reasoning was for saying that PETA's was like too sexy or, you know, whatever reasoning they had for it. I thought that the commercial itself was in poor taste, but then they get a lot of PR for being rejected by NBC. I'm sure plenty of people, I'm sure thousands of people have watched that video online now.
I would think so, Charles. And I think to Tempest's point, you know, there does seem perhaps to be a double standard here. You talk about sexiness, and they did have a commercial with two women in the shower. I don't know how much sexier.
Can you say $100,000? Because that's what they got fined for the Janet Jackson video. And I think everybody's so gun-shy about what you show and what you don't show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the FCC has really forced many of the networks to rethink not just the actual content of the game and what parts of the content to show, but they're scrutinizing everything. And, you know, that last fine, you know, they finally got it removed by the FCC. But, you know, every time you put something on like that, you got to wonder if somebody from the FCC is going to knock on your door.
Well, you know, it's absolutely right. And talking about the FCC's indecency rules, one of the things that got them, meaning CBS at the time, was the fact that when children are available to watch, the rules are more strict. So during those hours that when children are up, if you put certain things on television or say them on the radio, you're subject to be fined by the FCC. All right, let's go on to talk about something else, because this has been a story that's gained traction all around the country and beyond, actually. A single California woman gave birth to octuplets last week, which in and of itself, certainly newsworthy, only the second time apparently that's happened here. But since she gave birth, it's been revealed that she, as I've already said, is not married, is struggling financially, and has six children at home already. I'm not sure where to go with this, Tempest, when you first...
Was this about the money? That's what I want to know, because why would you... I mean, a social worker should have stepped in and said, are you sure that you need some more children based on where your circumstances are? Because the only obvious question is, the doctors were looking to get paid. I mean, help me out here, Tempest. Is that what was going on here?
I don't know. I don't know if I could say that, because of the stuff that I've read about it... It appears that she came to the medical team once she was already pregnant. This
Correct.
Medical team was not the one responsible for actually giving her the embryos, implanting the embryos in her. So I think that was a calculated move on her part for her not to, you know, go to the hospital and say, put eight embryos in me and then deliver the babies, because somebody might have had a little something to say about that. But by going to two different doctors, I think that she effectively got her desire, but she probably figured that people would have something to say about it. Is it about the money on the medical team's part? I wouldn't necessarily say so. Is it about the money on her part? Quite possibly, if only because whenever somebody has more than four babies, everybody, you know, the whole country gets involved. Or I should say, whenever a white person has more than four babies, because there have been some allegations of, you know, less media coverage for black women who have multiple births.
Well, she's not black, but she got an awful lot of play. Let me just answer one of the things that Charles brought up with regard to what she was doing. Her mother has been quoted in the papers out here in California saying that her daughter just loves children. And apparently she is a single woman who was a professional, college educated, got laid off from her job, according to the press accounts, and decided to do this. The question, though, Corey, is does the person who implanted her have any ethical responsibility to inquire about her previous births, and should that be a factor in determining whether or not to give her additional infertilization?
No. I think the person who implanted her was just trying to get paid. I mean, my thing here is not a moral issue. It's not ethics. My problem here is logistics. You need a commercial driver's license to operate a vehicle that carries more than 11 passengers. And this woman's got 14 kids. So she's going to need a bus. Or she needs a CDL. What? How do you fit all those people in a house? How do you all go any one place at any one time? Why are we not requiring people to have licenses to have children? You know?
Well,
you need a license
to fish. I don't know if you require people to have a license, but there's got to be some due diligence here. I mean, come on. Someone's got to step up to the plate and say, look, in the broader scope of things, we know you love children. Why don't you adopt some? Okay? You can get through one more of these. Okay? Then we'll give you another one. But right now, I think if you think about it, this woman will be on public assistance for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not going to be able to go out and work. Tell me how she gets a job. Because I don't see it.
So here's my question then, Charles, to follow up with your point. So how do you tell her the next time she goes in? And she's got 14 now, and she wants 18 because she wants two more boys or three more girls. How do you do that?
I don't want to put limitations, but I think there's got to be a red flag bulletin at every fertility clinic. If this woman shows up, you have to tell her no. I mean, the worst part would be to say, look, ma'am, we're going to tie your tubes. You're not going to be able to have children. You know, they used to do that back in the 40s. But now I don't think that is morally right to do. I think that we as a society have to come to a simple conclusion. You're out of the baby business. At least I hope she is.
All right. We're going to keep our eyes on this. So let me just let folks know that if you're just tuning in, I'm Tony Cox. This is NPR's News and Notes. And with me on today's Bloggers Roundtable are Charles Robinson of Charles Black Politics blog and Kay Tempest Bradford of the Angry Black Woman blog and Corey Richardson of the blog Vexed in the City. Normally on News and Notes, we do politics on Wednesday's Blogger, but I wanted to get this in because I thought it was important. Republican National Committee has chosen Michael Steele to serve as party chairman. He is the former lieutenant governor of the state of Maryland, the first black chairman of the Republican Party. An interesting pick. I heard him say today, Charles Robinson, he wants to be the party of the hip-hop Republicans and the Frank Sinatra Republicans. Is that doable?
Well, he's going to have – he got a lot going on there. Let me just say that Michael Steele, I've been covering him for the last 8-9 years, and he was a lieutenant governor here in Maryland. And, yes, he was one of the few people that would reach out to hip-hop entrepreneurs such as Russell Simmons, and he got him to sign on to his campaign. Will he be able to bring that group together? It's a mixed bag. I mean, I went to a rally he had with Russell Simmons, and one of the things I thought was interesting is everybody there was texting. And that was a problem that the Democrats didn't hop onto in the early phase. And now with the Barack Obama phenomenon, they have. What does Michael Steele have to do? First of all, he's got to broaden this tent like nobody's business. But the problem is that they don't have an answer. I mean, as far as they're concerned, it's no, 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 no. You got to have more than no,
well, you know,
especially in these economic times.
Well, Corey Richardson, you know, it's one thing to put a black person as the head of the party. But as Charles was saying, the reason that they lost the election to Barack Obama wasn't because black folks alone did not vote for the Republicans. They lost the young vote. They lost the women. They lost a number of other sectors. And the question is whether or not this election is going to help them make up the ground that they lost.
Well, I think that when you look at the candidates for RNC chairman across the board, there's an old saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And in this situation, Michael Steele was the one-eyed man. You had a litany of just poorly qualified candidates for the job, and they picked the one guy who was the best least qualified. I don't think that the Republicans, by just putting a black guy in this position, are answering any of the real Republican Party problems, which are, where are your ideas? You know, who's actually leading your party? Is it a party of ideas, or is it a party of Rush Limbaugh? You know, and then lastly, I guess I'm more than anything else just perplexed at how Michael Steele got on Fox News yesterday and said basically that they're not changing anything about the party. And if that's one thing that they should have learned from this election, is that their party needs to change.
Well, let me bring Tempest in to get her view of what you think he could accomplish as the head of the RNC.
You know, I'm actually not sure. Just looking at, you know, what reports have come out, I've read some of the coverage on him going back a little while. And I agree. he doesn't seem to bring anything to the party that could really affect a sea change in Republicanism, and not necessarily, you know, a sea change that would change the fundamentals, but a sea change that would make them relevant, that would make them more of use to their base, you know, even with their conservative values. I'm just not seeing it.
I would think too, Charles, and this would be our last comment on this because our time is up, that with Barack Obama in the White House, he doesn't have much of a chance at all to reach out to African Americans to switch. He may have those who are already on the Republican side, but it's not likely he's going to pull any black Democrats.
I think it's going to be Hispanics and Latinos he's going to reach out to. And the reason why I say that is because right now African Americans are solidly, I mean, probably 98, maybe even 99% behind the current president. But you know what? In the course of a political season, things can change.
That is absolutely true. Thank you all very much. Good discussion today.
Thank you.
That was Charles Robinson of Charles Black Politics Blog joining us from WEAA Studios in Baltimore, Maryland. Kay Tempest Bradford of the Angry Black Woman Blog, she joined us from NPR Studios in New York. And Corey Richardson of the blog Vexed in the City, he joined us from KUT in Austin, Texas.